Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you. This is the day that you've made. This is the day that you've made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, our joy is not determined by the circumstance. It's not determined by our checkbook. It's not determined by what's going on around us. It's not even determined by what's going on in me as far as in my flesh or in my mind. But my joy is from you. Oh, Lord God, you said there in Galatians chapter 5 that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is in me. It is in me. It is in me. I am the governor of my joy. I am the commander of my joy. And I command joy to rise now. And I choose to worship you in spirit and in truth. For you are worthy every moment of every day. You are worthy. Oh, you are God. You were worthy before the world was created. You were worthy of praise. The angels were worshiping you, and they still are. And we just join our voice with the angelic chorus of heaven, and we declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is and always shall be, the one with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you are glorious, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, is, and always shall be. And we come before you, and I'm excited to be together with you. God, I'm with you all the time, but together I'm with you and with my brethren, with the body of Christ here at New Beginning. Oh, Lord God, we choose to be with you. You're always with us. But as we have gathered together, we've chosen to come together to be with you. You said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when we gather together, you do things. You speak things. You show things. You do things that you don't do at any other time. This is a precious time, the gathering of the brethren. Jesus, you gather with us. I'm so honored to be called a son of God. And I'm so honored, Jesus, that you call me your brother. And it says you're not ashamed of me. And God, speaking to you, Father, it says you were not ashamed to be known as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And you're not ashamed to be known as the God of Earl. Oh, we just thank you. You're not ashamed of us, and we're not ashamed of you. You are great and mighty. You are holy. You are the one that we place our mind and our heart focused upon. Now continue to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18, Peter, of course, writing, it tells me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine and correction, you know, all these things. But it's given by God. So even though it has some of the flavor of the writer, you read read Mark. You've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're written to four different groups. They're written by four different people. Matthew is written by a Jew. It has a whole lot of prophecy in it because it was written to the Jews. Mark is written really largely to the Romans. The Romans were a militaristic nation, and Mark is very much that way. It is fast-paced. It's the shortest of the Gospels. Luke is written by a doctor. It was written to the intellectuals of the day. And then John is written to the church. It's very intimate. So you get the flavor of the writer, but you're getting the inspiration or God-breathed words. And that's really important that we understand that, because when you understand that, it gives you an honor for the Word of God. The Jews understood that. The Jews had gone into captivity in Babylonia. And when God began to restore the nation of Israel in Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the wall. And when Ezra stood to bring the law back, he stood above them on a platform. He held up the Word of God and he began to read. There was such honor for the Word of God, the people rose. I'm not asking you to stand. It's a heart attitude. It is a reverence for the things of God. So when we understand the Word of God is God-breathed, it is God in the Word. That word, when it says God-breathed, you realize that the word that is translated spirit in the New Testament, it is the word pneuma. It's the word that we get pneumatic from. And I know Scott will understand what pneumatic is. It's something that works by air. You probably understand that. And so we've got pneuma is the word. Well, that word can be translated as spirit. It can be translated as wind. So, you know, and it can be translated a couple other ways, but it's that's largely it. And so when it talks about the Word of God being God-breathed, that's the breath of God, that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in the Word. You cannot separate the two. And so when we recognize that, we reverence the Word because it is God's actual Word to us, but it is interwoven, not only the fabric of the words, but the Spirit of God is in it. So when Peter began to write, we need to reverence what he says here. And in this chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 18, "For as much as you know that ye also were redeemed, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation." Now, conversation is not communication by word. Conversation actually means lifestyle, manner of living. That's the word that is used here. So he again says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain lifestyle that you received by" what? "The tradition of your fathers." So tradition can be a bad thing. Paul actually talks about the traditions that were passed down to, I believe he was writing, and he talked about that to Timothy. There are certain books, there's 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. All three are written to ministers. And so I kind of get Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy kind of, there's such overlap there. But I believe it was written specifically to Timothy, but it's written to us as well. And, you know, he talks about the traditions that were passed down. What he's talking about is the doctrine that I passed down to you, the teaching that I passed down to you, those things. But when we talk about traditions here, this is not a good thing. Traditions can be a very bad thing. Now, we'll look at a couple places, just a couple, in the Gospels. And we'll look in Matthew. We'll look in Matthew chapter 15. And in verse 6 it says, and Jesus is speaking this, "And you honor not, he honors not his father or his mother, he shall be free." And what he's talking about here is, if I were to back up and read, the Jews were doing some things. They were using a word called korban, which meant that what they could use to take care of their parents financially, they would say it is Corbin. In other words, that's, by the way, Linda, that's not your great-grandson that we're talking about. It's a biblical word, and it means that it is dedicated to God, it's separated unto Him. And because they would use that, then they were not responsible to take care of their parents. Well, that was not the way that God set it up. You look in the law, and they were to take care of their parents. So what he is, this is the context that this is written in, and we'll look at it out of Mark, and it's the same account, it's just written from a different perspective. And he says, "And honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Mark's account says almost exactly the same thing. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And that's out of Mark chapter 7 and verse 13. So he talks about traditions. Now, what he is talking about is things that we have set up as tradition that actually rob the word of God of power. Now, the most powerful thing in the universe is not an atomic weapon. It is the Word of God. There's coming a day when mankind, not all mankind, but a large portion of mankind, will gather around Jerusalem when Jesus returns. I'm not talking about the rapture, I'm talking about the second coming. And he sets foot on the earth again. And they will gather, massive armies will gather against him. Now, you have the kings of the east, which is China. You have that nation which will come down from the north, which is Russia. You have Iran and Iraq and Syria all mentioned. You have Turkey mentioned. They will be part of this. And they're mentioned in other names in the Bible, but that's the nations. And there are others as well. And they will gather. Now, Russia and China have nuclear weapons. And they will gather. And they will gather against the Lord. And it says he will slay them. You'll find this in Revelation chapter 19. He will slay them with the sword of his mouth. And then it happens again. You have the millennial reign, 1,000 years of perfect reign. Satan is bound for 1,000 years, cast into the bottomless pit, the abyss. He is, after 1,000 years, released, and it says, for a short season. We don't know what that is. All we know is what the Bible says for a short season. He will gather massive groups of humanity again after 1,000 years of perfect reign on the earth. And he will still gather many, many, and they will come against the Lord again. And this time, fire will come out of heaven. It will be at the command of God. All of the weaponry of all of humanity and all of creation combined, all the might, strength, and power of all of creation combined is infinitely less than a single word of God. The Word of God is so powerful. And what we see here is Jesus says, you have taken the most powerful thing in all of existence and you have robbed it of all of its power by your traditions. Now, we in the body of Christ sometimes have traditions which limit God. So you can't limit God. Oh, yes, you can. Psalm chapter 78, I believe it's verse 41, but I could be wrong on the verse. It says, you have limited the Holy One. They limited the Holy One of God. It's talking about Israel. Now, our traditions can do that, But our traditions will bring us to a point of esteeming them above the Word of God. And if we esteem them above the Word of God, what we do is we take the most powerful thing that there is and we rob it of all power. There are many in the body of Christ that are genuinely born again, but they rob the Word of God of power concerning healing. Because they say, God doesn't heal like that anymore. They rob God of the ability to do a miracle in their life because they say, God doesn't do that today. And we have many traditions that we have set up. Matter of fact, we have what are called traditional churches. And I am not attacking any group because I am Pentecostal, I am Word of Faith, and I make no bones about it. But let's be honest. We've brought in our own traditions. And you know, you got to do things a certain way. You got to sing three songs. You got to have a poem. You got to do this. You got to do that. Oh no, you got to speak to this group. You got to do No. We rob the Spirit of God of His freedom in our midst, and we rob the Word of God because the Spirit of God is intertwined with the Word. And He works with the Word, and He will speak to your heart. It is the Word of God, and we rob Him of power in our life when we have traditions that say, no, sir. No, sir. We can't do it that way. We do it this way. And we can't do that. We are living, well, it's awful quiet. We are living in a season of time, a short sliver of time, right before the trumpet blows. And the archangel shouts, and the voice of God speaks and says, come up! And we go up in the rapture. We're so close to that. We're so close to that. And because of the nearness of that, because the day is drawing near, we need to be more aware of what God is wanting to do than we are of our traditions. Because we don't want to limit God. We don't want to limit God. Many would say, God, I'll do whatever you want to do. I will die for you. And they mean it. But my question is, are you willing to live for Him? Because living for Him means that we get a hold of what He says. We walk out what He once walked out in the earth. We say what He once said. Because we know the lateness of the hour, many are waiting for the trumpet. They're waiting for that command to come upward. And we will say, the scene is being set for the tribulation period. And what we do is we take our hands off the wheel and we say, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and we do nothing. We do nothing. And we can't do that. This season is the greatest day of the church. The early church came in with a bang. We have Jesus dying on a cross. There was a bang. He was nailed to that cross. Bang! 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 We see when He was on that cross, darkness. He went and He died, and it was very dark. But we also then see bang because the tomb was opened. We see bang because He came out. We see bang because He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came into the earth. And the Holy Spirit came upon the body of Christ. Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 what was going to happen. He told them in Luke chapter 24 what was going to happen. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, well, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, we had that next bang. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. We don't know exactly how many were there. We typically say 120 because of Acts chapter 1. It doesn't tell us in Acts chapter 2 there were 120 there. We just know that there were 120 gathered at one point. And they began to spill out into the streets. And it was noised abroad. And they began speaking with other tongues in the Spirit as the Spirit had given them utterance. And so we see that the new covenant that Jesus established was ratified by His blood, and the Holy Spirit coming then empowered the church. And we see in one day 3,000, and then another time 5,000 in Jerusalem that were born again. It came in with a bang. It's going out with a bang. God has more Christians on the earth at this moment, I believe, than at any point in history. He has more people that are getting a hold of the Word of God in this season. We have had times where it was dark. You know what the dark ages refer to? It's not just about then the natural. It was dark spiritually. But even at that time, there was a remnant. And now that remnant has grown to millions. Yea, probably over a billion plus. Some people will say 2 billion Christians on the earth right now. I argue that number. But I believe that there's probably at least 1 billion Christians. This is amazing. And God is getting a hold of the body of Christ. And as He gets a hold of the body of Christ, what He is doing is He is teaching us the value of His Word and the value of the Spirit of God operating in the earth. And when He does this, He's getting a hold of our hearts. I'm willing to die for Him. Are you willing to live for Him? This is the season where we need to rise up. I have said it. As long as I am here, there will be an authority exercised in the earth, because God's going to use my voice because I hear Him and I speak. Now, if I'm not on the scene, it's up to you. But I'm on the scene. And as long as I'm here, we're going to hold some things back. As long as I'm here, there are some things that are going to be stopped. As long as I'm here, there are some things that are going to be released. As long as I'm here, there's going to be freedom proclaimed and experienced, because God will use my voice and God will use your voice. Are we willing to live for Him? Are we willing to live for Him? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, and then Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 7. God says there, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, you need to think in picture form at times. And the reason I say that is, if Miss B is God, I have something before her, before Him, before God. It's not always that we have it elevated to the same level as Him. It's that we have it standing between Him and me. And we need to understand that there are things that are keeping me from fulfilling the destiny that He has for me, because I have things standing between us. And when you have something standing between you and Him, it's going to block some vision. It's going to hinder your hearing. and it's going to slow down the process of the fulfillment of the will of God in your life. Sometimes it will be things as simple as, I'm taking too much time on social media. Now, don't leave this place and say, Pastor said social media is horrible. You shouldn't be on social media. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it can be something that stands between you and God. And if it is something that stands between you and God, then it needs to be cleared out of the way. So we need to clear those things out of the way so that God can have me more. And that I can have Him more. Am I going to live for Him? In this season, you're going to have to make some decisions, and you're going to have to learn to walk the way God wants you to walk. Now, most of you know that I am a Rhema Bible Training Center graduate. It's now Rhema Bible Training College. When I went to school there, I will be blatantly honest with you, they might as well have called it Rhema Bible Training Center for training ministers, because it was a ministry training school. That's what it was all about. And we were trained for ministry. That's the school I came out of. I am not ashamed of Rhema. I am honored to be a Rhema graduate. People sometimes, you know, they despise Rhema. They will put it down. All they do is preach faith. Well, I seldom preach a sermon specifically on faith. But faith is involved in every sermon that I preach. Now, as a result of that, I want you to understand your life is going to require you walking differently. What's it been, 2 weeks now that Israel's been at war? And as a result of that, we are living in a time that is very different. Very different. God has said over and over again, you'll find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So he says we're to walk by faith and we're to live by faith. So the whole round of the activities of our life is to be done in faith. I'm getting a little warm now. So if you weren't here early, it was cool in here. It was 61 degrees when we got here in the building. this season, God has been training people to walk by faith. And this is a time where you need to get up every day and realize, I need to walk by faith. I need to walk by faith. You know, we have dietary plans that we have. We often talk about a diet. It's really a dietary plan. You realize that needs to be done in faith? It needs to be done in faith. Where we go, what we do every day needs to be done in faith. When you leave your house, you need to go in faith. Now, I'm speaking heavily about faith right now because the season in which we live, it is unstable. There is an instability. Now, as long as I'm here, there's going to be more stability here than in other places in this nation and in this area. There's going to be stability because I'm here. And there should be because you're here. And you begin to declare what God has said. And you begin to believe it and speak it out of a heart of faith. And as a result, there becomes a stability. But in the world, by and large, there's an instability. And if the government says, And you may have insurance, and you may have all of the prerequisites you think, but if you go to the doctor and he says, I cannot treat you. I cannot treat you because you do not have this. Of course, you know, we're talking about the COVID thing. That was a precursor to what's going to come. But if they say, I cannot treat you, you need to understand what God has already said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should now live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Isaiah 53, of course that's 1 Peter 2:24. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes I am healed. So, we have got to learn to walk by faith. The easy thing is to go to the cabinet and get something, or go to the doctor and get something, but what happens if the doctor says, I can't give you anything because you don't have this? You better know how to walk by faith. What happens if they shut your job down? What happens? But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According as his divine power hath given unto me all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called me to glory and virtue. You need to understand, you're going to have to walk this out. I don't care how much money you have, you need to walk by faith every day. I don't care how healthy you seem to be, you need to learn to walk by faith every day. What about wisdom? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Yep. In James chapter 1. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and breadeth not to be given to him. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it's the last verse of the chapter, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And it talks about other things too, but so we're going to have to learn to walk this out. How are we going to walk it out? We're going to walk it out by faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot go away from the Word of God. I'm willing to die for you, God. Are we willing to live for Him? If we're going to live for Him, He says, the just shall live by faith. He does not say the just shall live by their incredible talent. He doesn't say the just shall live by their natural inheritance. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I am 59 years old. When I was 57, we were getting ready to move. And I had been struggling physically. Now, I was on zero medicine. None. And I began having trouble operating, functioning. And I was having trouble breathing. I was having trouble walking from the car to the house. In the midst of this, we had to move. Thank you, Marcus, for all that you did during that move. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, all of you guys that helped us during that move, because I got in the truck at one point, picked something up, and turned and put it here. That was about all I could do. I wasn't able to function very well. I had had zero medicine. We ended up going to the doctor. I'm not opposed to doctors. They told me you have congestive heart failure. Now, when you hear heart failure, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. But we had already been in a place of prayer with the Lord, and we got that, and it didn't shake me. And we went home and we prayed, and God already, you know, he spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you a new heart mainline. Two things, new heart mainline. Now, I don't know exactly what the mainline is. He may have already taken care of that, but he has promised me a new heart. In the midst of this time between then, when I got that word, and when it comes to pass, I am standing in the position of hope and faith. But you cannot shake me from that position. I heard it in our living room. at 809 North Keller, Effingham, Illinois, 62401. I can tell you where I was at. I've heard from God, and you're not going to shake me from that. And we are going to see this come to pass, but you don't know. Oh, I'm healthy. I'm not going to need a doctor. I was on zero medicine. Scott and I were talking just the other day. I've had almost nothing. I've not even had a broken bone all the way through. I've had a cracked bone. I was healthy. And then all of a sudden, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I will tell you, you can know what God will bring. But you're going to find that out from being in His presence and in His Word. In the main service today, we're going to talk about some things that will... It's basically, a lot of times the main service is real evangelistic. It's about getting people saved. But a lot of times it's also about a basic level teaching. And when I say basic level, it's for everybody. You realize, I still drink milk. I'm not a baby anymore, but I still drink milk. You will still need the basics. And we're going to talk about some of the things that will help people to live this out. But I'm going to tell you, you know, it seems like I'm shotgunning. I'm not. If you don't understand that, that means I'm just splattering stuff all over the place. I can do that. I can do that with the best of them. My wife can tell you that. Obviously, she can tell you that. She just did. But what God is wanting you to understand is, first of all, yes, sir, we'll go there. Let's go over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Now, there's different ways to interpret this. And if someone argues with me about this, I won't argue with them about it. But that word worlds, it's translated in different places differently. Now, if you say, well, it means when God created the world, I won't argue that with you. I can find lots of scripture about that. John chapter 1 talks about that. It talks about it in many different places, that Jesus created the world, that God created the world. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, words with God, the Word was God. You know, that's John 1. And but here, that same word that is translated worlds is actually translated in other places as ages. So, through faith, we understand that the ages were framed by the Word of God. Now, that word framed, it really means fitted out and made suitable. So, when God brings an age in, He fits it out and makes it suitable. This age is the time, we could call it the end times. The end times began way back when Hebrews was written. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about in the last days. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about in the last days. So we've been in the last days, but we're at the tail end of the last days. We are I believe, 100% we are the rapture generation. We are those that are going to be called upward very, very shortly. But here it says, through faith we understand that the ages were fitted out and made suitable by the Word of God. Now, I'm going to take you someplace and then I'm going to come right back here. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. For by grace are you saved. Is that right? 6 through 8 or 8 through 10? 8 through 10. Let me turn there. 8 through 10, I do believe. For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Okay, yeah, 8 through 10. For by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before prepared and ordained that we should walk in them. So he says here, for we are his workmanship. That word workmanship, most of the time I translate this way, we are his masterpiece. There's another way that that can be translated. That word is the word that we get, it's the Greek word that we get poem or poet from. We are God's very own poetry. In other words, he spoke us into being. So, going back to Hebrews 11, by faith, in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, or by faith we understand that the ages were fitted out and made suitable by the word of God. What is it that makes this age fitted out and made suitable? It's you and me. You were brought into the earth for this time. This age has been made suitable by you. You came into the earth and God brought an answer to things in the earth. You are his poem and he gave you a mouth to use. He gave you the ability to exercise authority. You were brought into the earth for this day. I'll die for you, God. Will you live for him? You were brought into this age to live for him. I know I've thrown a lot of information at you, but what I want you to get is you were brought here for such a time as this. Now do your part. Exercise faith, not just for yourself. You're going to need to do it for yourself, but God is going to use you. And when he does, when you get into a place of prayer, you're going to begin, yes, sir, we'll go there. Go over again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. I made mention of this earlier. How is it then, brethren, when we come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. God is bringing correction through the Apostle Paul, sure. But what I want you to see here is when you come together, brethren, how is it when you come together? Have we come together? Yes. Have we come together? Yes. So we've come together. This would apply. How is it, brethren, when you come together? God gives things. God does things. God shows things. God speaks. God moves in this setting. And when you get alone with him, he's going to show you stuff. He's going to give you words. He's going to give you revelation. He's going to lead you by that impression. And when he does, he needs you to exercise authority in the earth. In the last 2 weeks, I have been dealing with things for Israel. I have also been dealing with things with China. And I was doing that this morning. And it is, when I have the unction of God, I have the authority to do it. I have the approval of God. I don't just do this on my own. But when I have unction from him, the authority of heaven is exercised through me. It's really the power of heaven is exercised through the authority that I exercise in the earth. And there are things that we will say that seem like they don't make any sense. But when you have unction, speak out. Speak out. Speak out. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, being watchful. Colossians chapter 4, I think it's verse 2 also says, being watchful in prayer. Different word, almost exactly the same meaning. So when we go into prayer, we're watchful, we're attentive, we're listening to the Holy Ghost. And when we do, then we say what He wants us to say. Isaiah 43:26. He then says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. What is He saying? He's saying, tell me what I just dropped into your heart. Speak it. Speak what I put into your heart, and because I'm putting it into your heart, I'm wanting you to declare it. I'm wanting you to stop some things. I'm wanting you to start some things. I'm wanting you to water some things. I'm wanting you to do something. I gave you that impression. I gave you that leading. I gave you that image. Now, give it back to me with your words. Isaiah 55. It says there, and I think it's in verse 10, somewhere in that area. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We can thwart the word of God. It is powerful, but we cannot give it voice. And He says, people misquote this verse, whatever God says is going to come to pass. It's not what it says. He says, my word shall not return unto me void. So He gives us His word so that we can speak it back. Why? Because He's given us authority in the earth. Jesus said that right before He ascended. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He gave us that authority to act on His behalf. We do it exactly like He did, which means what we hear the Spirit of God say, we speak. What we hear the Spirit of God or what we see the Spirit of God show, we give voice to. We act upon that accordingly. And when we do, oh dear Lord, it is my heart hooking up with an action, whether it be my words or doing something, and that's faith. That's faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, last verse of the chapter, verse, I don't know, 18, I think it is. I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. He's quoting out of the Old Testament, but faith is actually hooking my heart up with my mouth or hooking my heart up with an action. Sometimes your words, most of the time your words are sufficient action for your faith unless God says, go do this. Then your words are not going to be enough. But if He doesn't say, go do, your words will be enough. And most of the time, they are. Why is that? Because your words don't seem to have any power. It's just words in the wind. No, it's not. Not when it's hooked up with your heart. So anyway. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. And then, if you guys didn't see it, we have special guests on the back row over here. I saw him come in. I'm going to pray, then we'll have a break. We're going to have some donuts, coffee, that kind of stuff, and then we'll have our main service. Father, we come to You once again. We thank You for the food and drink. Lord, You said nothing is to be refused when it's received with thanks or with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. So I believe what You said, and I agree with it, and I declare it is sanctified. You did it, God, when You said there in Acts chapter 10, You declared all foods clean. And Jesus, You also did it when You said nothing that goes into a man defiles him, therefore declaring all foods clean. So I declare it's clean. I declare it shall give energy and strength to our bodies and even our minds, our soul. And so, God, I thank You that the intertwining of our being, it's helpful. And, God, we give You thanks for that. Thank You for the fellowship time. And thank You for the upcoming service. We just praise You, our God, our God, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.